Welcome to Compassionate Conversations, where we push the boundaries of comfort to empower you to become all that you dream of being.
Hi, I'm Esther Kane. I'm a Canadian psychotherapist and the author of It's Not About the Food, A Woman's Guide to Making Peace with Food and Our Bodies. For over 25 years, I've been helping people to overcome problematic relationships to food and their body image. And to my great delight, my book has helped thousands of people to do just that. I decided to do this series where I interview other body image warriors who I respect and love their work in order to help us form more of a community around talking about our disordered relationship with food and our bodies, in the hopes that we will find strength in each other's stories and share some really helpful tools and methods that you can use in order to heal your relationship with food and how you see your body. If you're thinking, I don't know if I have an eating disorder, so maybe these videos won't be meaningful to me, please give it a chance. When I tell people, for example, that I'm an eating disorder therapist, people automatically think eating disorders are just anorexia and bulimia. And while I treat those issues in my practice, the bulk of my clients tend to fall into the category of emotional eating. People who eat when they're mad, sad, glad, and fearful. There's all kinds of reasons that we turn to food. And they are usually people that are yo-yo dieters, that do obsessive exercising. Maybe they are in middle age and their body's metabolism has changed and they've put on some extra weight and they just can't seem to get it off. All of these people fall into the category of some type of disordered eating pattern. So if that applies to you, please stay tuned. I'm going to be interviewing some fabulous people in this series who will definitely give you some great ideas and tips in order to make peace with food and your body. I'm so excited for today's episode. It's the first episode in the series on exploring food and body image issues and from an empowered perspective. And welcome to Lorna Kettler.
Thank you.
She is the owner and lead body love enthusiast at Bodacious Lifestyles, Inc., a women's clothing store located here in Victoria, BC. If you haven't gone, go, it's amazing, that offers a fun, safe, welcoming environment where all bodies are beautiful and worthy of being celebrated. She is passionate about encouraging women to fully recognize and appreciate their beauty, their bodies, and their curves.
Yeah.
Welcome, Lorna.
Thank you.
It is so nice to see you. We haven't seen each other in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's a good conversation to be having again.
So, yes, yeah. Yes. And I want to just start with a little backstory of how we met, because it was about 20 years ago, and I realized that you've just celebrated 20 years. So when was the 20th anniversary?
2020.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So it's been 22
years
almost. Wow.
Right.
Okay. So I was living in Vancouver at the time that you began Bodacious, and I had a very good friend who was plus size and couldn't find fabulous clothes, and she was such a great dresser. Mm-hmm. And she dragged me to your store on Main Street at the time, and it blew my mind. Mm. It was just fantastic. And she bought all her clothes from you.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just fell in love with the clothes that you had on offer, who you were as a person. I remember chatting to you the first day, and we're all excited, and it just meshed so beautifully with the work that I do. And then you just expand. I mean, you've just been going great guns ever since.
Well,
so tell us,
it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride since
yeah.
then. But,
well, tell
yeah.
us the history of Bodacious.
Okay, so, kind of backstory before Bodacious was me meeting with women while I was a volunteer at the Women's Health Collective in Vancouver.
Yes.
And meeting women who were having these conversations that I'd never had before about the possibility of accepting your body and like strong, confident women that, yeah, they had the, I don't know if you remember, Anad did the House of Mirrors project.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I was part of that. And just, yes, it was a whole new world of talking about the potential even of liking your body or accepting your
right.
body. So that was all.
Can I just stop there
sure.
and ask you personally where you were at in that process, like personally?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, the message I remember that I'd been saying to myself for a long time was, when I get skinny, I'm going to get my belly button pierced. When I get skinny, I'm going to get a two-piece bathing suit or bikini. And then through that journey with the Women's Health Collective and meeting those women, I kind of started challenging that idea. And it's like, I'm not going to wait. And on my 33rd birthday, I remember that very well, I got my belly button pierced and I bought a bikini.
Fantastic.
And that was kind of the beginning of my journey. I didn't have a store then. That was just like me.
I wish you had. Do you have a photo of that by any chance?
No, I don't think I do. I probably wasn't at that stage yet. I think I did take a picture of my belly.
That would be fabulous if we had that to show everybody.
That would be funny. Yeah, I'd like to find that myself. Yeah, so then kind of years go by after that, and the idea of opening a store, well, not finding a store that I wanted to shop in. So it was like seeing the need,
mm-hmm.
knowing what I wanted that to look like.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I had a business partner, my cousin,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to create that space that
yeah.
we were searching for.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know that it exists, never mind plus size. I think it's a hard thing to find in general, but
yeah.
certainly plus size. Just that you could go and have fun and experiment and play
yes.
and
yes.
develop your own style.
Yeah.
You know, which for so long, women have had to buy what's available. That doesn't really
yes.
allow you to create a style.
For women of all sizes.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah. clothes used to be made to fit our bodies
right.
by a tailor.
Right, yes.
And if they didn't get the size right, they had to go redo it.
Right.
It's quite different than what us trying to stuff ourselves
into
a size
whatever's
zero.
There. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. yeah. Why do you think that shopping for plus size clothing, because I hear this so much in my work from my clients, they say, my clients, they're plus size, they don't want to go shopping because it's such an awful experience.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that shopping for plus size clothing is such a negative experience for so many women?
Well, I believe that over time, a lot of the designers don't want it reflected on, they have a vision of what they want their clothes to look like on
right.
a woman.
Right, right.
So even if they provide plus sizes, often they won't show it on a plus size woman in their marketing materials.
Right, right.
So, or they won't put it in their store, they'll put it online. Like there's, even though there's been all this progress, like
mm-hmm.
still they have they have the image of what they want that to look like. So
right.
And then the other thing that happens a lot is,
but what is that look often? Isn't it like a waif, thin,
very
flat,
much so. Yeah.
Just a sort of pre-adolescent boy
yes, generally, yes.
type.
Well, I think they even went to the extreme of using pre-adolescent
yes.
boys on
yes.
runways.
Yes.
And as design models or fit models.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When is this thin is in going to be over?
It's
like the pants that the guys wear that are way too low.
Right.
And their underwear.
Yeah.
And their bums are hanging out. It's like, really? We've been two
That's
decades of this.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So, yeah, I think that oftentimes what will also happen is retail stores will bring in some token plus sizes.
Yeah.
But they'll hide them in the back, or they won't tell anybody that they have them.
Oh.
And then they'll say, and then they won't sell. And then they'll say, oh, see, we tried and they don't sell. That's
wow.
not our market.
Right.
Whereas if you have it, you have to tell people you have it.
Right, right.
And because me, as a plus size person walking into a retail store, I'm going to assume you don't.
Well, what message does that send to you as a plus size person? If you walk in and they know they have your size,
mm-hmm.
but they're not advertising it, it's hidden in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doesn't that set up a cycle of shame?
Absolutely.
Like, as if there's something wrong with those
Well,
sizes.
For years, like stores like the Bay, had them plus size up with a maternity on the third floor in the back corner.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Now they've made some very interesting changes, which are also questionable. But, So that whole thing supports their idea that it's not going to sell, so they don't bring it in.
Right.
And then that
right.
just is like the self-fulfilling prophecy. So,
yeah.
Because what you'll hear from so many people is the styles aren't available in plus. Well, they are. I'm here to tell you that they are.
How can women who have had these negative experiences that we talked about before with plus size shopping move past them and enjoy clothes shopping? Like, how can they embrace it and rebrand it for themselves?
Yeah. I mean, it's an ongoing conversation, right? And some people can only hear so much. Like, we have signs in the dressing room saying this is a body hate free zone.
Yes.
All bodies are celebrated here.
Beautiful.
Some women.
Can you imagine? I just want to say.
Yeah.
If that was in every change room of everywhere that women try on clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And men. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yes.
And low lighting and mirrors. Candlelight. Maybe.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing for me as my customer is aging with me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women haven't had those conversations at this age.
Yes.
It's like they've kind of bypassed the radical years of, because there's that whole group coming up, right?
Yeah.
You know, which we need and love.
Yeah, the baby boomers.
The belly, like they're willing to show.
Oh, these like, younger, they're amazing.
Positive, body positive, big
the
women.
Millennials.
That are just, they're just.
Love it.
So exciting. I mean, and those women are leading the way now. Like they're the next generation coming up, which is great.
It's fantastic.
But what I didn't realize is that I feel like there was a gap, because when I start talking about loving or even accepting your body to some women now at this age, they're just like taken aback that's even going to be a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely not what I grew up with.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not a different message. It's just a different way of presenting it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, because we're not going to, you know, you should just want your body and you know, be out there for the world to see. I mean, that's just not a message they want to hear, nor is it really what we're all going to realistically do.
Well, and then you add, I just have to get into this because it's so pertinent for me right now, aging into it. And I work so much, I'm in the perimenopausal phase,
right.
which is just all over the place.
Same.
I thought I was done for, how long was it? I think it was 5 months, no period, and then came back and and so many women are in this stage, and then as we age, there's all these new body insecurities that hit us. I mean, even with your hair graying and skin changes.
Yeah, your eyebrows are all wiry.
My eyebrows stick out now.
Yeah. It was like, I can't pluck those anymore. I'm just going to trim them.
And the really thick chin hairs that grow within 2 hours.
Yeah.
What is up with that? I swear, I can go into a session, I don't have a chin hair, and then I come out and I'm like, what is that thing right there?
Right.
It can grow.
You see, we all do that thing now. It's like is there anything there?
So that's another sort of add-on, I think, that...
Well, and I think that so much of that, again, is things that weren't talked about.
Yeah.
You know, things that happened to your body that were just, like, shushed away because it's just not, you know, you need to be perfect. You need to present perfectly.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
and the menopausal transition, I mean, I've been learning that it's very, very good. Most of us gain weight in our midsection.
Mm.
You know why? That is... I'm going to say this to the camera. That is so we don't get cancer, ladies.
Really?
Yeah, ovarian cancer, mostly. It protects our uterine cancer. That extra fat protects us from getting cancer because what's happening is our estrogen is dropping dramatically.
Right.
And estrogen is, you know, supportive and stops us from getting all kinds of illnesses. So we want that. It's a great mechanism. Our bodies know what to do, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to... our body's going to end up where it's going to end up. And there's no... You don't have any control over that.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
So your body morphs and changes. So it used to be so much about size for me, and now it's like, whoa, it's sort of shape, and it's like skin texture. It's just shifting. And I'm working with going with it, but I think... something that we really need to be cognizant of and keep the conversation going.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, you were asking about how to kind of not take all of that so seriously as far as, like, the rules or how to feel good about your body. And,
yeah.
And I think the one thing that we get caught, I mean, obviously there's the magazines and all the messaging.
Yeah.
Which is still consistent. Like, no matter what age you are, you're not the right, you don't look right.
Yeah.
You need to color your hair and do all the things. But the other thing that I kind of feel is important, and it's a weird one, is stop looking in the mirror so much. Because, you know, and
you get the magnifying mirrors.
Right.
Oh.
You know, because especially like if you're having a great day and you feel good, you know, seeing a photo of yourself or seeing yourself in a mirror could change that whole experience for you. And it has for me, and I get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think a better thing is just like step away. Like, you know, talk to people, remember that you're having an experience and they're not seeing your reflection in the mirror. They're seeing the full picture of beautiful you.
Yes.
Right.
And to
your
me, it's an internal experience. It's what, like right now, having this conversation with you and having you here, I feel fabulous. I feel beautiful. I feel wonderful and spectacular. And I feel that way about you because my inner light is shining.
Right.
I'm doing what I love.
Right.
And I'm connecting with women, other women that have the same passion. You know, that's what it's about. It's not about, you know, the aging of my skin or, you know, the fat on my belly.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you're connecting with women like that, it is beauty. I mean, it's a whole whole picture.
Yeah. And when we surround ourselves with other women who are also breaking those, you know, silly stereotypes and myths and just living boldly and brashly and just out there, we feel empowered, we feel strong, and we remember our own beauty. I want people listening to this, watching this, to hear some of the transformational stories and feedback that you've received from your customers that may provide hope and inspiration.
Yeah. I don't know that I hear a lot of stories anymore, but I... Is that true?
Well, maybe even about the clothes shopping experience that they had with you.
It's I see a transformation happening in the store.
Okay.
So, you know, and I totally get it too. Like some people come in expecting me not to be able to help them because they've had terrible experiences trying to shop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like that warming too. Oh, actually everything in this store fits me.
Yeah.
And then just watching how that can shift how you're going to have an experience in a place.
What do you notice? Just think about these women that come in and they've had the experience of not fitting.
Well, they just start smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody move to tears?
That's definitely happened. I know one person who we share her. She's kind of one of my stories that I love to share. We used to talk a lot about showing your arms because most women don't want to show their arms.
Yes.
And she tried it. It wasn't the end of the world. And, you know, and it just changed how she looked at wearing clothes. And and again, as we get older, the arm thing becomes more and more of an issue for
bat
women.
Bat wings, they call them.
Yeah. But I feel more comfortable at the end of the summer showing my arms than I do at the beginning because you're a little bit tanned and you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
So
well, and you're also not used to it. They've been in
high. Right, But, you know, and I can guarantee that you're way more worried about your arms than anybody else is.
Nobody
else has their own insecurities to worry about.
I always tell people that everybody else is self-absorbed. Just the way you are thinking, everybody's thinking about how you look.
Exactly.
Yeah. They are thinking about what am I going to have for dinner and did I do my hair nicely?
Yeah, exactly.
Is my boyfriend going to stick around?
Yeah. That stuff. The one thing I was going to say, though, about like being in the store is, again, women are so used to being told what they should and shouldn't wear and what are the rules. I try to step back and say how you feel.
Nice.
So and I'll point out when you walked out, you weren't smiling in that dress. When you came out, you were smiling and twirling or whatever.
Yeah.
I can see that you love that. You know, we're putting it back on them and letting them identify how they feel.
Yeah.
Because everybody's been telling women what to wear forever. So
right.
It's like you tell me how to dress, well what lights you up?
Yeah.
What makes you feel like you're all that and want to strut down the street?
Yeah.
That's what you should wear.
It sounds so much like the work that I do, the somatic work with women on feeling pleasure. because so many of the times women come to me with trauma, and the trauma cuts us off from our bodies and the experience of enjoying being in this body, right? So pleasure, if we can hone in on the pleasure, what makes you feel good, just like you say, so what makes you feel that you look beautiful, what makes you feel good inside, tingly, you know, focusing on sensations, you know, things like baking or playing with a child, you know, the things that give you jumping in the freezing cold river, those types of things. It's so important, I think, that we find what gives us pleasure in our bodies. And one of those pleasures is looking great.
Looking great and feeling fabric that feels beautiful
on
your skin.
Yeah, it feels good. Oh,
yeah.
I'm such a fabric junkie.
Yeah. You know, and just paying attention to that rather than, you know, what you should wear to give you a certain shape or look or color.
Do you feel that we can learn to love the skin that we're in? And how do we do that? I mean, we've covered a lot of that.
We have covered a lot.
Any other thoughts?
I mean, the answer is yes, but I think it's always a work in progress. Like, you know,
it's not
because
it's done
right, because we're again bombarded with messages of the opposite of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's baby steps. It's just taking, you know, and what I've said before too is you don't need to go into a higher end boutique and do a big shop, but find a place that is open and welcoming and that you can say, yeah, I just want to try, I just want to play and try some things on. It could be a thrift store.
Yeah.
Find a scarf that, you know, is your favorite color and feels beautiful, like butter on your skin, you know, so do little things that reconnect you to what you love to put on your body.
Do you have any thoughts on how we ended up with this thin is in mentality? And have you seen any shifts in that mentality in the past 20 years since you started Bodacious?
Not enough shift, that's for sure. I mean, every time I think that we are going in the right direction, then you see, you know, young girls just having the same issues and that have been around forever.
What broader societal changes would you like to see in terms of body size acceptance? And what hope do you have for the future generations of women?
That's a big question. I mean, I have a lot of hope for the future generation. Like we were talking about earlier, there's some really fun, radical women coming up that, you know, like it's not even a thought. It seems like what they're presenting is, you know.
I find the millennials in my practice, a lot of women early to mid-30s, pretty cool with the body image.
Yeah,
not so hung up on it.
Right.
For some reason.
And then, I mean, imagine that paired with they could go shopping anywhere.
Yeah.
And create a style.
Yeah.
Like, because they would have to be very creative in finding clothes. And so there needs to be more on that other side where, you know, it's supported.
Yeah.
So that they could make that happen for themselves.
Right.
So... And I think that's where we all got creative as younger women anyway. Like, I was more of a thrift store shopper and making, putting things together and making your own style.
Yeah.
And so, but just having things available.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, Lorna, having
you
here and reconnecting.
Yes.
Yes. And I hope this helps our listeners, our watchers.
Yeah,
sure, well,
and it's great to have the conversation because it reminds you why you do what you do, why I do what I do.
Yes,
and
so
so yeah, it's a good thing.